Support for FAQ City comes from WFAE members and Bojangles. For over 40 years, Charlotte-based Bojangles has provided biscuits from scratch, hand-breaded fried chicken, and freshly steeped iced tea. More info on the 48-step biscuit-making process at bojanglesbiscuits.com.
Schools in Charlotte and across North Carolina have been closed since mid-March because of the coronavirus. Online classes became the new norm. Many in-person graduations, sports games, and proms were canceled. Now, state health officials say North Carolina's coronavirus trends are moving in the wrong direction. So, as fall draws closer, what's next for schools? Will buildings reopen? Today, we'll answer your questions about schools and the coronavirus. That's coming up on FAQ City. Stay tuned. Hey, it's Claire Donnelly. Today on FAQ City, schools. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper closed school buildings across the state in mid-March in an effort to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. As the new school year approaches, there's been a lot of talk about when and how schools might reopen. How could schools enforce social distancing? Will students have to wear masks? Joining me to answer those and other questions is WFAE's education reporter, Ann Doss Helms. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Claire.
And before we start, a brief disclaimer. General knowledge about the virus and the disease it causes, COVID-19, is still evolving. The same holds true for the government's response. Also, we should say we're recording this on Friday, July 10th at 2:45, and things are always changing. So either tune into WFAE or go to WFAE.org for the latest. So, Ann, let's start with where things stand right now. Do we know whether schools will reopen for students to go in person in the fall? And what have we heard from Governor Roy Cooper so far?
Well, we know that the General Assembly mandated an August 17th opening date for all public schools. And what you may not know is that they also mandated that the first 5 days cannot be conducted remotely. So that really complicates things because we know the governor is looking at three paths to reopening, and two of them involve remote instruction. So one path would be to say that the virus is so pervasive across the state that schools have to start the year in remote mode, kind of like what we saw from mid-March to June. One other path would be to say that schools can reopen in person at full capacity with some safety measures in place. That would clearly be the most popular option if the virus would just go away or retreat to levels where people generally feel safe, but that hasn't happened. Cooper pushed back his own July 1st deadline in hopes of getting better numbers, but they're still looking bad. So that brings us to the middle path, where schools and buses would operate at 50% capacity. In Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools, that would mean students are divided into three groups, with each group attending in person 1 week and going home to learn remotely for two. CMS leaders are focusing on that strategy as a way to get some semblance of in-person school back in session if the numbers don't go down. But it's extraordinarily complicated to execute, and it's not clear that the state law allows that for the first week of school because some kids would be on remote schedules.
I see. Okay. So the August 17th reopening day, that's just 5 weeks away. Do you have any guess on when we might get an announcement?
Well, the governor said Thursday that it's coming next week.
So now let's turn to some questions that we had submitted by our listeners. So first, could schools in North Carolina decide to reopen on a county-by-county basis? So could some counties decide to let students come in person while others continue with online classes? And that's a question we got from Patricia.
Well, the state has said that districts and charter schools can choose a more restrictive option than the statewide plan, but not a less restrictive one. So one possibility is that the governor picks the least restrictive path, and that's the one where everyone returns in person with schools operating at full capacity, and then essentially leaves it to local officials to decide if they want to impose more restrictions.
So now at some of these press conferences with state officials, we've heard about guidelines from something called the American Academy of Pediatrics. What is that, and what has it said about school reopenings? Listener Ashley wants to know, are they the most trusted source for information?
The Academy is a professional group of 67,000 pediatricians, and its recent guidelines really emphasize the importance of getting kids back in school. They say the risk for children is relatively low, for catching the virus, for getting seriously ill, and even for spreading the virus. And they note that there are serious risks to keeping kids at home, not just the danger that they'll fall behind academically, but that they're at risk of going hungry, of abuse and neglect going undetected, maybe of becoming depressed because of isolation. So some people took that as a flat-out clearance from medical experts to reopen schools no matter what. But the Academy's president, Dr. Susan Goza, spoke with NPR the day after doing a roundtable at the White House Tuesday. And she basically said, hold up, it's not that simple. You do have to look at whether there's an intense outbreak in the area. Here's Goza.
We know that COVID is still a dangerous virus, and it's circulating throughout the country, and there are definitely hot spots, and Florida is one of them. And so all decisions really have to be made with public health and the school officials looking at that as part of their decision-making on whether they can reopen safely.
As for whether they're the most trusted source, I think it's fair to say they're a trusted source. There are a lot of people trying to figure this virus out, and as you noted going into this, the scientific consensus has been evolving.
Okay, so if children go back to school in person, how will they social distance? It seems like it will be tricky for kids, especially younger kids, to go back to school without being close to their friends or eating lunch together or playing outside. And those questions came from listeners Lisa, Montresa, and Michelle.
It will be very tricky, and not just for the younger kids. If you've ever been in a middle school, that's a very physical age. High school students also like to hug and huddle and look at each other's phones. But yes, the parents of young children are particularly worried that a socially distanced kindergarten, for instance, is really going to miss the heart of the social experience and the hands-on learning. The state guidelines do include some recommendations, like redoing cafeterias, maybe even bringing meals to the rooms, creating one-way traffic in hallways, spacing out seats so students have some distance and aren't seated face-to-face. But anyone who's tried to enforce rules knows this is going to be tough.
Yeah. So do we know whether students could be required to wear masks?
Yes. Under the current state guidelines, middle and high school students would be required to wear them. At the last CMS board meeting, there was a lot of talk about how strongly schools can encourage the elementary students to wear them too, even if they're not legally required. There's two things to remember here. One is that we're not just talking about the health of the students who may be relatively low risk, but also about the health of the employees who are exposed to those students. And a lot of them are really worried about picking up the virus and taking it home to loved ones who may be high risk. The other thing is that it's one thing to make a rule and another to enforce it, as you can ask anybody who's tried to enforce dress codes. So kids are going to be out on the playground being active. They'll have to take the masks off to eat or get a drink of water. So there's just not going to be a perfect way of keeping their faces covered every minute they're in school.
Sure. And what do we know about colleges in North Carolina? Shanquella wants to know whether they'll still reopen for students to go in person if the number of coronavirus cases continues to go up.
Well, obviously, if we have an explosion of cases, plans could change. At this point, most colleges and universities have already rearranged their schedules and shifted a lot of courses online to try to avoid the kind of close-packed classrooms and dorms that would be risky. But because there are so many schools making their own decisions, I'd just say keep checking their websites for updates.
Yeah, okay. Christine says she has a 5-year-old who's getting ready to start school in the fall. What should she expect?
Yeah, I've heard from several parents of rising kindergartners who talk about how hard it is to not be able to tell their children what to expect. And right now, we can't even say for sure that they'll be allowed to return in August. We do know that when they do go to school, they'll see their teachers in masks. They'll be asked to do a lot of hand washing, those adorable gatherings where the kids sit crisscross applesauce on a rug while the teacher reads a story. Those are going to have to be spread out, if not eliminated.
All right. Well, thanks, Anne. We have to take a short break, but coming up, what's next for teachers? And could all school employees and students be required to get a COVID-19 test? We'll answer those and many more questions right after this break, so don't go anywhere. Hey there, today's podcast was made possible by listeners like you. Thank you to the listeners who have been submitting their questions on wfae.org/FAQCity. And thank you to the listeners who made a contribution to WFAE to support breaking news and in-depth reporting. If you learned something from today's episode and want to support it, share the link on social media or give this podcast a rating and review in your favorite podcast app. And if you want to support this podcast even further, become a member of WFAE with a donation of any amount. Just hit the donate button on WFAE.org, and thanks. Hey, we're back. I'm Claire Donnelly, here with WFAE education reporter Ann Doss Helms, answering your questions about schools and the coronavirus. So, Anne, let's get back into these questions from our listeners. First, at the end of last school year, everything shifted online. And like we talked about before, that's a possibility again for this coming year. So what if your child doesn't do well with virtual learning? And that's a question we got from Lisa.
Well, first, let's stipulate that a lot of kids didn't do well with virtual learning last year. whether that was because of their learning style or disabilities, because they didn't have good internet access, language barriers, because, or even just because they didn't participate much. And we're not talking about dozens of students who fell behind. We're talking about tens of thousands. And a lot of parents were underwhelmed with the lessons their kids got online after the coronavirus closing. And that's no disrespect to the educators who moved heaven and earth to shift to remote learning. They just had so little notice and so little time. So what Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools is trying to do is assure families that they've kept learning and building on that experience. There's a whole new digital platform created by the district, so they're saying, don't judge us based on our emergency makeshift classes last year. This will be better. But the bottom line for families is, if your school says it's going to rely on remote learning for all or part of the year, you're pretty much on your own if you want an alternative.
Let's talk about teachers. What might their days look like in this new setup? Do we know? And will teachers get any kind of special coronavirus training or hazard pay? And those questions came from Scott.
Well, I can tell you that a lot of teachers are very frustrated about what they don't know. Again, the state has issued broad guidelines for three scenarios, but it's really going to come down to a school-by-school decision about what any individual classroom will look like, and principals can't really start making those decisions until the state charts a path. As for the training, I feel confident saying there will be some. It'll have to cover everything from classroom management to sanitation procedures, and whether it will be enough, I can't really say. As for hazard pay, no. And that's a huge source of frustration. The General Assembly and the governor have been deadlocked over a budget, which means that for the last 2 years, there hasn't even been a real cost of living raise for teachers.
Okay. And what about teachers' assistants? How will they be affected? And that question was submitted by Carol.
It's a great question, and I haven't really heard an answer. Assistants are often tapped to work up close and personal with students who need extra help, and I don't know how that might change.
And now this is an interesting question, Anne, from Stacy. Could all school employees and students be required to get a coronavirus test or maybe quarantine for 14 days before school starts?
I haven't heard anything about this, and honestly, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm not a doctor or a public health expert. But bear in mind that CMS alone has about 19,000 employees and almost 150,000 students. So let's say we muster the staff and the money to test them all, and we know only that at one snapshot in time they did or didn't have the virus. You'd have to do this periodically to have any kind of meaningful screening, and that's just a monumental undertaking. What we do know is that there will be temperature checks and symptom screenings for all adults and children who enter school buildings. And by the way, you can expect to see a lot of volunteers and community partners being kept out of schools to minimize the risk. At the most recent State Board of Education meeting, they talked about the fact that a lot of teachers are either going to get sick or be forced to isolate because of exposure. So they're saying we probably need to have a huge squad of strong substitutes on call.
Right. Yeah. Lots of things to consider there. So I know we don't know yet how schools will reopen, but what if a parent just doesn't want to send their child back to in-person school because they're worried about the virus? That was a question from Emily.
Well, finally, we've got a question that I can answer, at least if Emily's kids go to CMS. CMS has said it will offer a remote learning option for any family that chooses it. I don't know if other districts and charter schools will follow suit, but it makes a lot of sense.
Right. I know there are a lot of unknowns right now, Anne, but thanks so much for your help with these questions.
You're welcome.
That's WFAE education reporter Anne Doss Helms. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of FAQ City. If you have any questions about schools, the coronavirus, or anything else related to Charlotte, please share it with us on wfae.org/FAQ City. We're continuing to report on how the virus is affecting the Charlotte area, and your questions and story ideas keep us going. Keep up with all of our coverage on air or at wfae.org. If you're a curious person and you want to hear more FAQ City stories, both upcoming and from the archives, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, the NPR One app, or wherever else you get podcasts. That's all for this week of FAQ City. Until next time, stay safe and take care.
Support for FAQ City comes from WFAE members and Bojangles. For over 40 years, Charlotte-based Bojangles has provided biscuits from scratch, hand-breaded fried chicken, and freshly steeped iced tea. More info on the 48-step biscuit-making process at BojanglesBiscuits.com.